Father God, I thank you so much for the privilege to be here today, for the body of Christ, for those of like precious faith. You brought us together for such a time and place as this, Lord. Lord, as you have, Lord, given your church, Lord, everything it needs, Lord, to express your heart in this world. Father, we thank you for Pentecost, Lord. We thank you for the cross, without which, Lord, nothing would be available to us, nothing, Lord. We would still be in our sin. But because, Lord, you are risen, you are resurrected, you are the righteous King, and you rule, Lord, on high. We know that you have sent your Spirit, Lord, to empower and enable your church to be effective and efficient witnesses, Lord, in all places, Father. God, we thank you that you have brought us together in this body and for the family of God, the church of God. Holy Spirit, we just invite you, Lord, to be the teacher today, Lord, to teach, to reach through me, speak through me today, Lord. Grant what I need, Lord God, and that each one of us will receive what we need today, Father, that you will nourish and strengthen and build up your house, your people, and prepare us for every good work, Lord God, that we might be about your business, that we may bear fruit unto eternal life. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. We bless you. We praise you, Lord. Hallelujah, Father God. And you know, because of the Holy Spirit, you and I can do whatever God tells us to do. You and I can do whatever God tells us to do. The title of the message today is You Can Do Whatever God Tells You to Do. You can do whatever God tells you to do. See, so often it's not a lack of ability, it's a lack of faith in God's promise to provide and to do that which we couldn't do anyways. But by his grace, we can do all things. And it's because of his grace we are who we are again today, right? Gospel's more than just coming out of Egypt. Last week, we talked about coming completely out of cosmos, of the world, out of Egypt, and severing all ties to your past. Amen. And your past life and the old patterns, the old ways. We are to divorce death. Amen. Because we have been brought into a brand new life in Jesus. Amen. And the life that we now live, we live by faith in the Son of God who gave himself for us. Amen. And he is in us through the new birth. And so he will enable us to do what we couldn't do by his indwelling Holy Spirit. And on the day of Pentecost, that's when the church was birthed. Amen. And we began to go out and to spread the good news of the grace of God in every place. Do you believe that you can overcome every storm in life? Do you believe you can live in victory over sin and Satan? Do you believe that you can accomplish God's will for your life? Amen. So we can believe that intellectually. We can agree with that. Oh, yes, we believe we can do that. But how many know that in our own strength, it's impossible? And so God is trying to get us off of ourselves and onto him. Amen. And depending on him for the grace to do what we couldn't do anyways in our own ability. Now, God was angry with Israel, remember, because in the wilderness they doubted that God would do what he promised he would do. But yet God brought them completely out of Egypt because it was in the wilderness where he wanted to train them and prepare them for what he had up ahead, for the promise that he wanted to bring them into. And so because they didn't believe, they could not do what they were told to do. It's not that God hadn't promised them the grace to accomplish it, but because of unbelief, they were unable to do what they were called to do. And the same thing is true. Today we can agree with the word and say, yes, that's true, I believe that, and yet never really accomplish anything. Because it requires a confident assurance in God's promise that will translate into a life of active service for him. Amen. You can't say that you believe God and not have good works. We were saved for good works. Amen? So most of Israel fell in the wilderness due to unbelief. Because they didn't believe they could do what God told them to do. They lacked the ability to obey God because of unbelief. So God gives us everything we have need of and provides by His Spirit all the grace that we could ever need. How many know He is more than enough? His grace is sufficient for us. But like Jesus had said, we have to come to Him and ask. We have to be filled. And we have to come back to the water and drink. Amen. We have to abide in Him. We have to continue in this journey with Him, together with Him, doing life together with the Holy Spirit. As He's been given to us as the one who will lead us into all truth. And so all of us struggle with doubt at times, if we're honest. And there is a difference, though, between doubt and unbelief. We can have moments of doubt, you know, but unbelief is really, it's a refusal to trust and obey God. You see, Israel was told what they were to do, and God would have provided the grace for them to do that, but they refused to do what God told them to do because of unbelief. So unbelief is a sin. It's really the sin of rebellion. So doubts, we're going to deal with at times, amen, but we don't allow doubts to defeat us because we remember the promises of God. We put our faith in what God promised, amen, and everything that God promised, He will do. But if we don't believe, then we won't do what God called us to do. You can't say you believe God and not obey God. Oh, yeah, I believe in Jesus, do you? To what degree do you believe in Jesus? To the degree that you're going to obey Him in repentance and faith and obedience? Or that you believe He existed, a historical figure? Do you understand the difference? We believe to the saving of the soul. God wants to bring everyone to a knowledge of the truth, amen? To a saving knowledge. Now, God would not instruct us to do anything, you know, without also supplying the grace to accomplish it. You hear that a lot, don't you? In other words, Israel knew what God expected, but refused to obey. They were in unbelief. Hebrews 3:17 says, "Now with whom was He angry 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned, whose corpses fell in the wilderness? And to whom did He swear that they would not enter His rest, but to those who did not obey?" So we see that they could not enter into the promise, right, the land, because of unbelief. They were disobedient because they were unbelieving. And Hebrews 11:6 says, "But without faith, what? It is impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him." You see, your faith will also be demonstrated in the fact that you are diligent in seeking Him. If you really believe God is who He says He is, and that God is a rewarder, then you will seek Him. And you will seek Him for His strength and for His help on a daily basis. Amen. So the Holy Spirit gives us this warning today. In Hebrews 3:12, "Beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God." Verse 13, "But exhort one another daily while it is called today," in this dispensation of grace, the church age that we're living in, "lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin." So is it possible for a Christian to become hardened? It is possible to become insensitive to the Spirit through stubbornness and rebellion. It's possible for our conscience to become less sensitive and therefore less reliable. How many know someone personally that was really once on fire for God, walking closely with the Lord, and now they're doing things that you can't believe they're doing? And they don't seem to have a problem with it. something's happened. There's been a hardening. Their conscience has become insensitive and therefore unreliable. How many know the Holy Spirit will work through your conscience? And he can reconstitute that. Amen. He can revive, if you will, your sensitivity through the blood of Christ. Amen. Through repentance, God will forgive and God can restore and even heal a person's conscience so that once again they can become sensitive to the Holy Spirit. See, the closer we draw to the Lord, the more sensitive we will be to him. And the greater the confidence we will have in him, the faith of God that he imparts to us, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. So once you're called out by God, you just can't return to your old ways. You cannot return to Egypt once you've come out of it. Why? Because there's only slavery and death there. That's the world. In Luke 9:62, Jesus said to him, "No one having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God." Remember when Peter, I always pick on Peter, but when Peter failed the Lord, he went back to his fishing, his old ways. And so this following story illustrates really the vanity of human effort apart from the Lord's help. And this occurred, by the way, after Jesus rose from the grave. In John 21:3, Simon Peter said to them, "I'm going fishing. I'm done with this. I'm out of here later." They said to him, "We are going with you also." So what happened? They're all shaken. They quickly began to drift away. All they could think about was going back to what they were used to. And they went out and immediately got into the boat. And that night they caught nothing. How many know that one of the names of God is Jireh? Amen. Our provider, Jehovah Jireh. Amen. But when the morning had now come, Jesus stood on the shore, and yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. And then Jesus said to them, "Children, have you any food?" And they answered him, "No." And verse 6, and he said to them, "Well, cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some." So they did what? They cast. And now they were not able to draw it in because of the multitude of fish. So it wasn't until they were completely done striving in their own strength that Jesus stepped in. In other words, God did it. God was trying to teach them that he was going to be the one to provide for them. Amen. That they were to live a brand new life now as his followers, as his disciples. And so Jesus allowed them to fail in their self-efforts in order to teach them to trust him. In other words, they were going to need to learn to listen to him from now on. How many like not being in control of everything? Naturally, we want to be in full control of everything. And God has given you control. Amen. He's given you a will to make a decision what you're going to do with your will, who you will submit yourself to, who you will submit your will to. Isn't that true? So in that sense, God has given you control, but what you do with your life, what you do with your will is very important. Because all of us are going to submit ourselves to something or someone. And so God wants us to learn how to submit to him and trust him for the grace that we need to be who we're called to be and to do what we're called to do. So the fishermen could not boast about the catch because they knew that it was a miracle. Amen. Jesus had provided for them. But they had to do something. They didn't just sit there and wish the fish would come. They had to do something. They had to take a step of action and cast the net. Are you hearing me? Faith without works is dead. We have to cast the net. We have to be willing to obey the word of the Lord. Obey the instruction of the Lord. And there's always, he'll give you something to do, and then God will confirm his word through your faith that God will do what he said he would do if you would obey him. It's always how it works. God wants you and I to be involved in his plan, in his purposes. He chooses you and I to partner with him, to do life together with him. So they had to cast their nets. And they had to do so, though, in accordance with the will of God. See, all night long, they, in their own strength and wisdom, labored and caught nothing. Now, the Lord withdrew. You know, he did not allow them to catch anything because he wanted to teach them that from now on, you're going to come to me and I'm going to take care of you. Amen. Because what we're called to is bigger than we are. And without him, we can do nothing. Amen. So, listen, there is no victory. Hear this. There is no victory in the Christian life if you're trying to do it on your own. Amen. There's no victory as long as you are depending on yourself. And you may ask, well, why can't I overcome this problem or this habit? Or maybe, why can't I overcome this anger or lust? Why can't I overcome this lust or this greed or my selfishness? Well, here's the answer. Are you ready for it? You're too strong in yourself. It's not because you're weak. It's because you're too strong in yourself that you do not have the ability to overcome you. Well, if I can just use a little more willpower, certainly I can overcome the world, the flesh, and the devil. No. The problem is that we are strong-willed, and we have to learn how to take that strong will and lower it and submit it, right, to the will of God. And then the grace of God will be released to us and to enable us to do what we're called to do. Why? Because God, once again, gives his grace to the humble. But he resists the proud. So God wants to bring us to a place where we submit our will to the will of God. That's what Jesus did. Whether you have a weak will or a strong will, you still need to take that will on a daily basis and learn how to submit it to the will of God. It's a choice that you make to agree with the Holy Spirit, amen, and walk with him. So many times people think, well, I just got to try harder. Right? Just try. Well, how you doing, brother? Well, I'm trying. Well, I guess that's a start, isn't it? You want to try, but you don't want to just try. You want to rely. You need to learn how to rely upon the Spirit of the Lord, the Holy Spirit, who will enable you to do what you couldn't do in yourself. Some people have a great level of self-discipline in themselves naturally, and so they trust in themselves and become very self-sufficient. Are you hearing me? And sometimes they're the ones that struggle the most is because, why do I need God? I can do this. I can do that. And yet the disciples had to be broken. They had to be brought to a place where they would learn that they would have to rely upon the grace of God to do the mission of God. And so we don't like being out of control. But if we will trust the Lord and relinquish control to him, in other words, I will submit my will to the will of God, then the grace of God will work powerful in my life, and I will find myself having self-control. Because self-control is a fruit of the Spirit who empowers me to control what I say, what I do. So it's strong and unbroken people who are proud, who are boastful, who are jealous, who are angry, right? Lustful or greedy and all these things. Stubborn. It's because of pride. The Lord knows what we have need of, and he knows what it takes to get his people to the place where we, like Peter, are broken. Peter was crushed after he had denied the Lord, and he went out and he wept bitterly. And he realized that I can't live any longer according to my own dictates. I cannot be my own God any longer. I need to submit my will to the will of God. And only then can I live out the purpose of God and bear fruit. Amen. Apart from him, we can do. Amen. How many know that it's strong people who quarrel and argue and have to be right? Uh-oh. When we are strong in ourselves, we have to be right. We have to win the argument. Are you hearing me? But the servant of the Lord is not to quarrel. He's to be gentle, right? We need to be careful. Because sometimes what we call the victorious Christian life is nothing more than acting or living out of our own willpower to do certain things that may be for God, but not necessarily with God. So God is, if you will, I use this a lot, but he's weaning us off ourselves. So we become more dependent. And the more that you lean on him, the greater the power, the greater the grace that will be released in your life. And you'll find that his yoke is easy and his burden is light. Oh, it's hard to be under the yoke of self. Self-performance, self-exaltation, self-esteem. Have you heard that word lately? The Bible doesn't teach that. In fact, the Bible doesn't say to hate yourself or even think any less about yourself. Just don't think as much about yourself. Get over yourself. Submit yourself to God and to his purpose and to his will. Amen. That's how we do well. James 4 and 1 says, what is causing the quarrels and the fights among you? Don't they come from the evil desires at war within you? Of course, he's referring to the sin nature, right, within man that needs to be subdued. In verse 2, he says, you want what you don't have, so you scheme and kill to get it. You are jealous of what others have, but you can't get it, so you fight and wage war to take it away from them. Yet you don't have what you want because you don't ask God for it. I just heard that recently. And even when you ask, you don't get it because your motives are all wrong. You want only what will give you pleasure. What does that mean? It's all about me. No, it isn't. And as long as it's all about you, you can't be a servant of the Lord. Amen. You're not going to have victory over yourself, over your flesh. Until you realize that without him, you can't do it. You can't make it. And God is going to allow things in your life that will bring you to a realization that you are not strong enough. As a matter of fact, when we are strong in ourselves, we're actually weak spiritually. And unless we're strong spiritually, we cannot overcome that outer man, that flesh, that self nature that wants to be the center of attention. And then in verse 4, he says, you adulterers, don't you realize that friendship with this world cosmos makes you an enemy of God? I say it again. If you want to be a friend of the world, you make yourself an enemy of God. In other words, you cannot serve two masters. In James 4 and 6, however, he says he gives us what? Even more grace to stand against such evil desires. As the scripture says, God opposes the proud but favors the humble. So in other words, God's grace is sufficient, more than enough, it's abundant and it's free, but we have to come to him for grace. And now, because of the blood of Jesus, we can come with confidence to our Father's throne, amen, to receive all the help we need. Right? The mercy and the grace that we need comes from him. Hallelujah. So the less I trust in myself, the more I lean on the Lord. We're naturally full of ourselves, self-centered, and very trusting and wanting to be in control of everything. We don't want to be under the authority of anything, amen, including our parents when we're children. Right away, they begin to realize little Johnny there is not the little angel I thought he was. There's another part of him that I don't like. That's that sin nature, amen, that rebellious, stubborn, independent nature that says, I don't want to be under your authority. I don't want to listen to what you tell me. We're all born with that nature. But when we come to Christ and we're born again and the Spirit of the Lord comes in us, He gives us a new heart, amen, a new spirit, a new desire, amen. But we also have to make the choice who we're going to serve on a daily basis, who we're going to submit ourselves to. Are we going to submit ourselves to ourselves, or is Jesus going to be Lord of this day? And if you walk in the Spirit, you have life and peace. Amen. You're not bound, hallelujah, by the enemy. You're not bound by the world. You're not bound even by yourself. You can actually be free from yourself. How many know what I'm talking about? You can be free from yourself. Sometimes we are putting ourselves under such a harsh burden. Expectations way beyond sometimes what God is even expecting of you to do, because sometimes it's our pride. Or we look at somebody else and say, well, I'm supposed to look like that, or dress like that, or walk like that, or be like that. And God says, no, I just want you to be you. There's only one of you. Be happy for who you are, and just know who you are in me and who I am in you. And let's do life together, because what you have, nobody else has. And you have something to offer, something to bring to the table, if you will. There's a popular saying today. I don't know how, if it's just a modern saying, but you hear it a lot. Just believe in yourself. Now, I mean, and a lot of Christians will probably say, yeah, just believe in yourself, you know. But often when that's the context of that is that you don't need to rely upon anybody else except you. Just believe in you. Well, guys, how many know that the problem is really within us? It's the fallen nature that we receive from Adam. Amen. That wants to be its own God, that wants to live independent of God's rule. And in fact, any kind of rule. And we can see that becoming even more prevalent today. Amen. Everywhere you look, where there's large scale rebellion against any type of established authority. And yet the Bible says in Romans 13 that God establishes authority. Amen. Even in the earth. So naturally we are rebellious. Naturally, you know, we don't want to submit to anyone. We want to be independent and be our own God. And yet God is saying, if you're going to live, you're going to have to die to you, that I might resurrect you in my power. If you'll humble yourself, I'll infuse you with my grace, and I'll lift you up in honor, and I'll be able to use you. You'll become a vessel of honor. Why? Because God cannot use prideful people. He cannot use people that are full of themselves, that are trying to draw attention to themselves. A true ambassador for Jesus is always representing Him and His interests, pointing people to the Lord, amen, and not to themselves. So this idea of just believing yourself is not good theology. Amen. It's actually humanism. And so the fishermen, again, they struggle all night in their own strength and their own wisdom. But it wasn't until they came to the end of themselves that they were willing to obey Jesus. It wasn't until they came to the end of themselves that they were willing to obey Jesus. I know I can be very stubborn, and I know others that can be very stubborn. And I've known some people, especially when I've been involved in ministry here, that have been so stubborn. I'm just like, I can't believe you're still fighting, you know, resisting the will of God. And yet the Lord knows how to get our attention, doesn't He? How many know Moses had to spend 40 years in the desert before he'd be ready to lead God's people out of Egypt? God had to take him through a process where he was going to learn how to lean on God. Now, remember what Paul said here. Before that, why doesn't God give us instant victory every time? How many want that instant victory every time? Well, because there's a worse pit that we can fall in. And that is called spiritual pride. I found this to be true in my own ministry. There's been mountaintop experiences. I've seen God's power and God do some amazing things. And then a lot of times it's like, well, and the next time around it's like, whoa, it's like, what happened? You know? And I know that God can do whatever he wants, whenever he wants, with whoever he wants. But God also knows who we are. And he has to keep us in a place where he can continue to use us. So even though you have those mountaintop experiences, amen, you can't live on the mountain all the time. I'd love to be there all the time. But the valleys are necessary because that's where the fruitfulness comes. Nothing grows on the mountains, amen. But God knows our frame and he doesn't want us to become spiritually prideful. So he doesn't always give us instant this and instant that, because he has to take us through a process, once again, of weaning us off self-dependence so that we will learn to lean on Jesus. As the old song says, I'm learning to lean on Jesus, finding more power than I'd ever dreamed. I'm learning to lean on Jesus. Hallelujah. Joseph had to be rejected, sold into slavery, right? Before he could be in position to save his family during the time of drought. Remember Gideon, O mighty man of valor, in the wine press, right? Sifting wheat, hiding out from the Midianites, right? And God called him to be the commander of his army. He says, you're perfect for the job. You've been sufficiently brought to nothing, so now you can be something. That's what, in fact, Paul said that yesterday. He said, God has to bring us to be a nobody before we can be a somebody, right? David had to spend time as a shepherd boy, all right, and a fugitive even, before he was ready to ascend the throne. God had to prepare David ahead of time. Saul of Tarsus, we all know about Saul, right? He had to be reduced to a nobody before he could be Paul the Apostle. He was very prideful, very self-confident, well-educated, and well-respected in society. And God had to humble this man and break him and bring him to a place where now he would have to learn how to lean on Jesus so he would have the grace to be who God wanted him to be and to do what God had called him to do. Because God knew that if he was confident in himself, he could not be a vessel for him. Because it's not of us. For we have this treasure in an earthen vessel, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. Amen. So you and I can do whatever God tells us to do if we rely upon him for grace. That's why we pray, come Holy Spirit. I need you. And again, guys, our problem is not a lack of ability, but a lack of faith in God who can supply all of our needs according to his riches and glory. Paul prayed this prayer to the church at Ephesus in Ephesians 3:16. I pray that from his glorious, unlimited resources. He will empower you with inner strength through his Spirit. Guys, I pray for you that way every day. I see your faces here and I pray for you and I know you're praying for me. Amen. We need each other. But I pray this for you every day that God will strengthen you with might in the inner man by his Spirit. So you'll be fully equipped. And then it says Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust in him. Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. How many know we need deep roots? And may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep his love is. Are we getting to know the Lord? You've heard it said before, but somebody say, do you know the Lord? Oh, I know the Lord. You can say, no, I'm getting to know the Lord. We're getting to know the Lord. Ephesians 3:19, may you experience the love of Christ. Though it is too great to fully understand or understand fully, then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. That is so powerful, isn't it? Wow. I'm going to read it again. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to understand fully. Then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. Can we just lift our hands to the Lord and let's sing it together. Holy Spirit, you are welcome in this place. Holy Spirit, you are welcome in. Omnipotent Father, omnipotent of mercy and grace, of mercy and grace. You are welcome. You are welcome in this place. Holy Spirit, you are welcome in this place. Holy Spirit, you are welcome in this place. Omnipotent Father of mercy and grace, you are welcome in this place. You are welcome in this place. Come, Holy Spirit, we need you. Come, sweet Spirit, we pray. Come in your strength and your power. Come in your own gentle way. Amen. Come in your strength, Lord, and your power. Come in your own gentle way. Lord, our hearts are hungry for you, the living God. Only you satisfy. Only you can fill the deepest longing of our hearts, Lord. And bring us into your joy, Lord. Into your presence there is fullness of joy. Hallelujah. And at your right hand are pleasures forevermore. You are wonderful. You are the Counselor, the Prince of Peace. Mighty Father, amen. Glorious Lord, hallelujah. We love you, Lord. We appreciate you. And we thank you. For your grace is sufficient for us, Lord. We're going to join and believe God for your miracle. If you need a miracle, whatever it is, God is more than enough, more than able. He can do exceedingly abundantly above all we could ask or think. So just believe God today. Get out of unbelief and get into belief. Amen. Get into faith. Let's believe God beyond what we feel, what we see. If we can touch the hem of his garment today, you will be healed. Believe, and you will see the glory of God. Hallelujah. For Jesus said, all things are possible to them that believe. Hallelujah. Lord, we believe. All things are possible. Lord, we believe. Hallelujah.